My father wrote to me this morning. We were just corresponding about something, and he told me that my great-granddad's final words on his deathbed were, "I found a friend." And I'm not sure what his wife thought about that, but he was obviously referring to the Lord. But I just want to start, before we get into the questions, by saying how blessed, how wonderful it's been that to have had friends to work with.
I hope it's not going into the past tense.
I'm sorry?
It's not going into the past tense.
Well, you're leaving and I feel abandoned, but we will come back to that. But it has been a privilege.
The feeling is mutual.
I've worked for 18 years.
Yeah.
But I've got a number of questions and we're short on time. The first question I'd like to ask you is, what does Jesus mean to you?
Oh. Okay, everything. I mean, 12 minutes is not going to do that, is it? No.
I think someone said, Jesus is amazing. Someone wrote a book called that. I recommend it. No, but I found Jesus in this room, and he's my healer, my Lord, my friend, my captain, my beloved, my future, my hope, my redeemer, and I could go on.
You could go on.
It is serious. Jesus is everything. I often feel that Jesus is the answer to every dilemma, every pain, every suffering. It doesn't mean that you don't pass through those things, but if we find Jesus, we do find everything in a sense that for our lives. And that's the goal of my life, is to introduce people to Jesus and then encourage them in their walk with Jesus.
Thank you. I know you weren't expecting that question.
We weren't.
I think all of us here who know you, who have been part of this church, love Jesus and know Jesus better because of you.
Thank you.
What have you loved most about your 3-4 decades in ministry?
I think making friends. Charlie spoke about friends this morning. Friendship is a really high value for me, for us. And such an important thing for church, is something that I also talk about a lot. I think community, the Christian community, is something that is not replicated anywhere else. So, you know, you look around the room and we are so diverse, so disparate. And the thing that brings us together is Jesus. It is our faith. It is Christianity. And many of us would never, ever have met each other but for Jesus Christ. So that is what perhaps I've loved most in the different communities that we've worked in. We've only worked in 3 communities, one in Essex, one in Paris, and one here. All very different, but all deep.
Yeah, I think being involved in creating houses of prayer for all nations, so multicultural families where God is, are the hope of the world, I think. Our future hope is the church. Obviously, our future hope is Christ. So, as I've often said, my dad was an architect. He worked in Oxford just here. But I think, as he was an architect of stones, we've had the great privilege of putting together living stones under him.
Yeah. You certainly have. What's been the greatest challenge or the most painful thing about these 3 or 4 decades in ministry?
Oh, that's such a difficult question. I think this is not painful. I think one of the things I find most challenging is pursuing the Holy Spirit without becoming weird or bizarre, so that people can't understand or are turned away, in fact, instead of drawn towards. And I think the Holy Spirit is so, so far beyond us really being able to capture him in words or in our gatherings together even, because he is God. He is God. And yet we're called to pursue the Holy Spirit because he purifies us and cleanses us and instructs us and all these things. So that's the most painful thing, I think, ever in any community is when relationships are strained or go wrong. That certainly is. And I think most churches obviously pass through different phases, certainly here and in Paris and in Essex. We had, because I think church communities are a bit like families, and you have rows in families. You know, you're not quite so guarded in your family. You probably blow off steam or shout at somebody more easily. And then I think we kind of almost subconsciously bring family behavior into the church. And so sometimes we are not respectful enough in a way. We make assumptions about how we can behave.
Is the question, what's the most challenging thing?
And painful.
Yeah, and painful. Yeah. I mean, clearly, events in life, bereavements, death, has been something we've known in this community. But often those times bring a tenderness that is extraordinary. So out, as Fumi was saying, really, you kind of learn to lean on God through times of pain. I think I would also say I have sometimes made catastrophic mistakes. sometimes in, not really in recruitment, but in not being careful enough about lines of accountability, job descriptions, expectations, and all that sort of stuff. And I think one needs to be really careful about that. And those times when I've failed to kind of see that have often yielded a lot of pain, really. But I thank God that, you know, you also, one learns through these things. And I thank God that nothing is wasted. So sometimes there are reconciliations that are, you know, almost far sweeter than the original connection. And the perfume of Christ comes even through those things. So nothing is wasted, perhaps.
Can I just say another thing that I really loved, which I missed out? I think one of the things I really have loved, particularly in this church, is kind of seeing, inverted commas, people who I think God is calling to join the community in some capacity, either on the team or the administration team or in other areas of the church, and just saying, kind of communicating what I'm seeing to them, and then seeing people come and join the team. It's watching God unfold their lives and their paths so that, in fact, he brings them to join us. I find that incredibly exciting. And also, of course, people becoming Christians, you see them and you think, oh, I long for that person to come to know Christ. And then you begin a conversation. And many of us are doing that, of course. But I think that's one of the most exciting things about serving the Lord.
I mean, she's brilliant at that, Anita. You know, she saw Nina Oscars from afar. I said, what, a Norwegian coming to be our children's worker? It's impossible. She said, wait and see. And
I can actually remember speaking to Lauren. I don't know
Michelle,
where she is now.
Michelle Tepper,
speaking to Lauren,
like
I can remember the square of carpet in the Christopher Room where I spoke to Lauren a long, long, long time ago about life.
And that is a privilege. I can see people in this room upon whom God's Holy Spirit is for destiny. Some in the church, some outside. So that's a lot of fun, including you.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've observed your marriage for the last 18 years.
Oh, dear.
And tried to copy the best bits in mine. What's the secret of a successful, fruitful, peaceful marriage.
Oh. Marry well, you Anita. Know that.
Yeah. Someone once came up to me and gave me a, and said to me, I have a prophetic word for you. And I said, oh, great, I got a prophetic word. And then I said, thus says the Lord. It's four words. Listen to your wife.
I won't say we're still waiting for the fulfillment of this prophecy.
Yeah, I've been trying to be obedient to
I think a serious answer would be, you know, obviously we work closely together. We've both got lots of very strong opinions and we sometimes express them very strongly to each other.
This is true.
But I think being open and broken, I think we talk to each other about where we are not managing. We talk about, we don't hide anything from each other. And we try not to burden each other with absolutely everything. So, for example, when we go through a very difficult family, like a family bereavement or something, we're aware that we can't, your own partner can't carry all your suffering and sorrow. You need to outsource that. And we talked earlier about the need to talk to other trusted friends. And of course, we've done that as well. You're one of them.
We have a prayer shield, people who pray for us as a couple once every 2 months or something. We take time off together. Mm. We pray together every morning. We read a psalm at least and seek God. Sometimes taking communion together if we're in a time of battle, and so on.
We're not very good at the other bits of the rule of life yet. You can all pray for us to get better, and we'll pray for you. Like the midday pause, and then the examine, or, you know, how has today gone thing in the evening.
We've only got time for one more question, and most of the ones I've asked you weren't the ones I wrote down and wanted to ask you.
No, we so I'm sorry about such that. Good
but while answers, I yeah, while no. you were there on the chair, you know, other things came to mind. What would you like to be remembered for most here? I mean, God's got a future for you. The best is yet to come. You're healthy, strong, fit, and wonderful things lie ahead. And we know that God is going to open all sorts of doors all over the world for you. You're going to be writing and ministering and so on. But here, what would you like to be remembered for? How would you like to be remembered?
We're not desperate for doors to open all around the world.
I know. I'm just prophesying.
We're not supposed to fly anymore, anyway, are we? Supposed to cut down flying. We're supposed to cut down aeroplane flights.
What would you like to be?
I think I'd probably like to be remembered for loving people and loving God, or perhaps the other way around, for loving God. That's the most important thing in my life.
Yeah. I mean, me too, really. I sometimes say I'd like on my tombstone, he loved God and he loved people. And but it'd be great to get this Illuminations project through the board.
How much is it going to cost?
I do not think that.
You are known and will be remembered here and loved for loving God and loving people. Let's just pray for Charlie and Anita before we move on. Lord, we bless this dear couple, mother and father in our church and to our family. We love them, Lord, and we ache at the prospect of them moving on. And yet we also rejoice, Lord, that that you're with them and you're with us. So we bless them, Lord, and we pray in these coming months of change and transition that grace upon grace will be upon them and upon us. And we pray and we prophesy over them that the best is yet to come. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks.